Hello, everyone. Let's find your seats and then sit in them in case you need further instructions. If I was doing this like the governor does or the president does, you would all have copies to evaluate and respond to before I had a chance to read it. I do have copies that you can follow along, and that's what I'd prefer that you do. You're welcome to mark them up. If you can, boo quietly. There shouldn't be a lot of things to boo about. There should be no surprises whatsoever. It's just giving you a deeper insight into what's going on here. Go ahead and I don't know how many we have, but everyone that can read and cares to view it should be able to do that. I'm guessing some of the younger kids who can read don't care. It is 5 pages, but it'll actually probably go rather quickly. I'm sure I can read more directly than I can preach, so I do appreciate you praying for your pastors and their families. I was chatting with Jordan before the service this morning, and she's just matter-of-factly, you know, how much Ethan has to stay up to get ready to preach. And that's what it is. You lose a lot of sleep just in the preparation part of it. So it's just kind of the way things work when you're bivocational. You're doing this when everyone else is doing other things. So when you're pastoring, all of your pastoring happens after hours. I will say I'm very thankful for a few things right off the bat before I begin reading. I'm letting the notes kind of settle here. But I'm thankful that I can serve here at Northridge. I do enter in how many years here shortly, so I won't go into all that. But I just find it a blessing to be here among you and with you and part of the Northridge family all these years. I'm thankful that God has continued to give me strength. I've shared before that I didn't think I would be pastoring in a bivocational capacity, at least as a lead pastor, past the age of 50. That was my goal, to kind of get out of the primary position, because there's so much that there goes on that it pretty much runs your life, whatever life you have left after work. But God has continued to give me strength. I would ask you to pray just for physical strength. I do have persistent chronic back problems. Even in the last several months, I've gone to the chiropractor 2 to 3 times a week. And a lot of that's just because I'm old, and all God's kids said, yeah, you better not. But also, I have kind of cyclical eye problems. I shared with you before. And I think it's age, but also what I do is I sit in front of a computer all day for work, and then I do that for church too. And if I ever have time for my hobby, guess what I do? I sit in front of a computer. But I have what at least one eye doctor said, ocular rosacea, which I get lumps or something on my eyes. It could be the blood vessels and all that, but I get headaches behind my eyes and stuff like that. So today has been like that. I don't have the grating and stuff, but I have these dull headaches and stuff. I'm just telling you so that you can pray for me. I'm not complaining. God continues to give me strength, but it does make it hard to stare at your screen when you have that. When it's really bad, I can't open my eyes because the lights are so bad. So, but I appreciate you praying for that. I want to thank the Lord that my wife cares for me better than I care for myself. We go on diets regularly, and that's not bad, but you know, lifestyle changes and so on, but with her help and menu changes and so on, I've lost 10 pounds so far this year. That's a tube of hamburger, right? So I'm thankful for that. I feel better. You know, I don't have to carry as much around and all, but I'm just thankful for that. And I'm thankful that my family works with me on that as well, so they don't get all the food that we used to get. So I did cheat this morning in chapel. That was my breakfast, and boy, I made it worth my while. So thank you, Hamels, for giving us cookies. Anyway, but thank you for being a wonderful church family. Let me pray, and then I'm just going to read through this. That'll keep me from wandering, as I want to do all the time. Father, thank you for how you've blessed this assembly over the years. Lord, it began in some amazing ways with just Bible studies in the neighborhood, and then almost in a freak business accident, you provided this building, even though it was horrendously dilapidated at the time. You provided a huge building that even now we are able to use in so many different ways. But Lord, mostly you continue to bring people together, bring us together to minister in this community and beyond, and to minister to one another. And Lord, in some ways we are able to minister in ways that some churches just aren't able to because of the way we do things here. And it might rub some people the wrong way, but I thank you that we're able to be more flexible. I thank you that we can be just more open and caring in some ways because of that flexibility. Lord, thank you for another good year, and I pray that you would help us to serve you as we go forward this year. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I'll start reading. If you get bored, you can always color on the backside, right? So here we go. I thought I would make an attempt at giving you a report of where we are at in many areas at Northridge. I used to work this in during annual business meetings several years ago when we had our meetings on Sunday evenings. Since we have our annual meetings on Sunday mornings now, our available time is very limited. This is an unusual practice for me, as I am not accustomed to reading items of any length from the pulpit. Please permit me to do so now so I can effectively and efficiently present this information with the greatest amount of thoroughness and the least amount of temptation to wander off topic. I will seek... What was the laugh there? I think we need some church discipline over here. What? Good point. Laugh away.
Better than a boo. All right. I feel better already, Jim. Thank you.
I will seek to cover an overview of a broad number of topics in as brief a time as possible. My goal is to inform you at a level that helps you understand what makes up Northridge today and what we are working toward or working on. I'm starting out with the pastoral staff. I'd like to begin with our pastoral staff. I certainly know that our entire church family serves a critical role in ministering to one another. This is not to slight you or them. I simply know that shepherds set the direction and the pace of any church. Therefore, let me review our pastors and their responsibilities. We actually did this last year a little bit during the business meeting. I'll start with myself. Jane and I and our family have been at Northridge for a combined total of nearly 19 years. I first was called as the solo pastor. That's a term for if you're by yourself. A solo pastor in April of 1996 and began in May of 1996. I served for 9 years. In 2005, I turned over the leadership to other men serving as pastors at the time. They were Sean Kelly and Randy Smith. If you were here, you know that. As I went to serve both in a church rescue capacity and a church plant for a short time. I returned to Northridge in August of 2006, and I've served here ever since. Most of our children know of no other church as a home church, and most grew up or are growing up here. I have always served here in a bivocational capacity, having always worked full-time while serving here as pastor. I am the lead pastor, and my primary areas of focus are leadership and discipleship. My key duties include instruction, leadership, administration, and outreach. In the realm of instruction, I serve as the primary teacher of our assembly. I preach most of the sermons, teach many of the lessons, and oversee or prepare the Sunday school curriculum for our church family. In the realm of leadership, I seek to lead our assembly to follow God's word in the world and circumstances in which God has placed us. I also work to identify and mentor leaders at any level as God has appointed pastors to do in 2 Timothy 2:2, and I will continue to do so as God provides men to train up. In the realm of administration, I serve as the primary administrator, overseeing the church family, staff, ministries, facilities, and business. In the realm of outreach, my efforts go towards maintaining and improving the church's social media outreach through various means on the internet, including our church websites. I also try to participate as I can in other events, but I'm certainly not high up on that ladder. Pastor Jim Douglas. Pastor Jim is an associate pastor, and his primary focus is our pastoral care. I'm sorry, I jumped. Pastor Jim and his wife Dory came to us in February of 2011. How long ago has that been? It's almost 5 years already. It was during a tough time as we had seen our congregation shrink to a low number for many reasons, and I was so thankful for the help and encouragement these two brought to me and our church family. Pastor Jim is an associate pastor, and his primary focus is our pastoral care and visitation. As far as pastoral care goes, Pastor Jim's focus is on pastoral care of our church family, visiting those in the hospital, those that may be no longer able to attend, and the elderly. His pastoral care ministry includes ministering at two local assisted living and nursing home facilities, Union Park and The Rose, and providing transportation for several from those locations. Pastor Jim also has outreach responsibilities. He coordinates and leads our basic neighborhood visitation ministry and is working to enhance that effort. He will continue to assist in other neighborhood outreach efforts as well. Pastor Jim also assists me in facility management, serving as a liaison to inspectors and contractors as necessary. That's a lot said in one sentence there at times. Pastor Ethan Long. Pastor Ethan officially began his position just last year, January of 2015, as assistant pastor. He and his wife Jordan have a slightly different story than most, as both of them grew up here at Northridge to some degree or another. They're serving in their own church family is right in keeping with our philosophy of ministry as we seek to raise up leaders from within our own assembly. Pastor Ethan's primary focus is our outreach and discipleship. For outreach, Ethan will continue to help our church family create and develop neighborhood evangelistic outreach endeavors. He and Jordan have been key planners and leaders of VBS, Carnival, and Trunk or Treat. They're strange people to get me to dress up in a king's outfit. Maybe that's why I'm giving the speech today. I feel a residual royalty. Ethan has also participated in local door-to-door visitation. In the area of discipleship, Ethan will continue to develop youth and young adult programs. He teaches Sunday school and often leads our Wednesday children's ministry, which is FWAP, Fun with a Purpose is what that means. He also shares some of the preaching responsibilities. Okay, for goals and vision of our pastoral staff, these are things that we're wanting to shoot for this year that relate to our pastors. I have identified several goals that we will seek to accomplish this year. One is more effective communication. I would, as a side note here, last year just kept us off balance, it seemed like, between sickness and different things. So it isn't a failure of people. It's just we just weren't able to bring it all together. So that's why that is there. It isn't a failure of someone not doing what they're supposed to do. One goal regarding our staff this year is to work at becoming closer as a team in our thinking and efforts. This involves meeting more often to discuss and clarify our focus and efforts. It also involves growing our levels and avenues of communication so we are more informed about one another's efforts. We may try to work on some system of collaboration, such as an internet-based shared calendar or workspace. So, ideas there. A second goal is to define and refine our ministry efforts so that we are focusing on what we want and or should be focused upon and are less distracted by needs that do not fall within the scope of our responsibility. We are called to shepherd this flock, and that is what our focus will be honed to do. It's so hard because there are so many needs everywhere. And it's like, do you raise your in a parent setting, do you raise your own children and do you try to raise everybody else's? You can influence others, but your responsibility is at home. So that's what we're going to work on there. Leadership training. A third goal, as time and opportunity permits, is to do some leadership training, which may include those beyond our pastoral staff. Training may include assigned reading with written reports and discussion, and or sessions that include instruction. So we've done both in the past. Hope to do a little bit more this year. This is kind of a caveat at the end. Continued all church focus. We will continue as a pastoral team to serve the entire assembly. Okay, and this might be something that some of you are maybe unfamiliar with as far as a philosophy of ministry is. We do not believe in an age-segmented pastoral role. We don't believe in such thing as a youth pastor or a children's pastor or such. Okay, each pastor serves the whole assembly within their identified roles and responsibilities. We try to rotate some teaching or leading responsibilities so that pastors are engaged with different age groups at different times of the year. Okay, and you'll see that here coming up in the reading here. Now, the area of discipleship. That was pastoral staff, now it's discipleship. I'd like to turn my attention now to discipleship. First, I would like to share some of our philosophy and vision regarding discipleship. Our vision, our discipleship vision, biblical, broad, and balanced teaching. We purpose to preach directly from the Word of God in a way that presents the whole counsel of God. We select and design our studies to provide exposure to the entire Word of God at some depth, as well as presenting a balance of instruction from both Testaments, the Old and New Testaments, and from many key biblical top or subjects. Active ministry training and meaningful ministry opportunities. We also purpose to provide active, meaningful ministry opportunities. We do not want to simply be listeners. As we know, we are being trained for service work. That's what Ephesians 4 talks about. We seek to orchestrate ways we can learn to serve or continue to serve. So my job as a pastor here is to help you learn to serve, not just to learn. Okay? That's very biblical. We're to learn to do, not just to learn. Our Sunday morning gathering, we are working our way through the Gospel of Luke in our series entitled Learning to Love the Lord Through Luke. It covers the life, ministry, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We will study through it at an unknown pace, but it will certainly take us beyond 2016. We're in chapter 3. There's 24 chapters. I'll move on. Our study has already been a great blessing to learn from this gospel. I've really appreciated it already. I hope you have too. Our Sunday school gathering, we will continue our timeline of truth, chronological study through the Bible. Chronological is, if you're unfamiliar with that term, is by time, how it relates to time. We start at the oldest and work our way to the newest. We are studying this way for several reasons. First, this approach covers Scripture in a more thorough way than a normal Sunday school curriculum does. That's an understatement. Second, this approach builds a foundation of understanding of all of Scripture. This is especially important since all of Scripture is inspired and is intended by God to be studied. Okay? Third, this approach allows the entire church family to study and learn the same truths at the same time. I think that's one of the hidden blessings of the timeline of truth, is that everybody's on the same sheet of music. You can have a discussion at home or anywhere, or whatever, and you know people have covered this. It's so cool to be able to do that. Next paragraph. We usually take a break from our normal Sunday school schedule, part or all of December and January, to give teachers a break, to allow special services or schedule changes for holiday times, and to make room for different needs, such as our annual business meeting. We will be starting our Sunday school up again next week, January 31st. I am happy to report, I am very, very happy to report that Sean Kelly will be teaching the adult class, leading us through our study of Numbers, a critical book for understanding many New Testament passages. By the way, Sean is actually better equipped to do that. I'm not trying to prove it because he doesn't have to, and you don't care. You know he's a good man, but he knows Hebrew. I don't. So it's excellent. That's why I constantly had to ask him things in Sunday school. So I'm very excited about that. He's already gone through and outlined general sections of Numbers. Okay, so he's already there, and he'll be beginning next week. The adult class will continue to be 1 week ahead of the younger classes. The teachers of the younger classes will listen to the adult audio recording and then modify those lessons to fit their class age groups. We are so thankful for dedicated teachers who work so faithfully to train our younger ones. I don't want to give our teachers a big head, but I would put you up against any teachers anywhere. Most teachers and most churches are looking how easy they can make it to prepare for Sunday school. We don't believe that it's easy to study the Bible. It takes time, effort, and energy, and they do put in that time. And then they have to shrink it down and make it fit their group. So I'm so thankful that our teachers are dedicated in such a deep way. Wednesday midweek gathering. We began a new topical series a few weeks ago entitled How to Know God's Will. The purpose is to teach us how to make biblical decisions. We will study this series at least to the end of March. It might go further. We also plan to use the second portion of our Wednesday evening to provide meaningful ministry opportunities. Our children's ministry will work on learning good, wholesome songs that they will sing for our church family. Our junior high and senior high, and possibly young adults, will work on a puppet and drama ministry. Our adults also will have one or more ministry opportunities on Wednesday evenings. We're still working on that. But we're hoping to start this Wednesday. Outreach. I'd like to turn now to outreach efforts. I divide them into three categories: local, worldwide, and digital, if that makes sense. Our local outreach is anything affecting our immediate neighborhood or which is directly carried out in our community by our church family. So that's how I define local outreach. This would include our seasonal door-to-door visitation, informing people of our church, our summer week-long vacation Bible school, our one-day carnival evangelism effort, and or trunk-or-treat evangelism event. So any of those things would fit under that category. Ministry at care centers can also include evangelism opportunities. We will continue to evaluate each local outreach effort and enhance or eliminate them as we consider their profitability or find other more effective efforts. We always want to be that as people that aren't doing it because we did it last year. Right? Worldwide outreach. Worldwide outreach would usually be supporting evangelism that is beyond our neighborhood or community. It is often done by those that are financially and prayerfully supported by us. To help encourage us in this area in which we have had little emphasis for the past several years, and I can explain that another time, we will work on at least three options. First, we plan to reestablish our faith promise offering, which encourages our church family to give over and above our normal giving in order to give to missions. Second, we will work to develop a process to review evangelizers. I don't really like the word missionary. It doesn't tell you what it is. And if a missionary is not evangelizing, they're not really a missionary. Okay, so I use evangelizer there. Work to develop a process to review evangelizers, which is the biblical term, by the way, which we may evaluate and potentially support. Lastly, and maybe as a more long-term goal, it might not happen this year, we may investigate possible ministry trips for our own church family, whether helping other churches with VBS or other outreach efforts or even possible foreign mission trips. Digital outreach. By the way, Pastor Jim and Pastor Ethan largely deal with local outreach. Okay, that's their primary emphasis here. Digital outreach can be defined as anything that can be done through the internet, if that helps you understand what I'm talking about there. We presently have two main categories of outreach in those areas. The first category is our websites. Most people don't have two websites, but we do. We have our old website, northridgebaptist.com, and our new website, northridgebaptist.org. These sites allow us to reach beyond our walls and our community and serve several functions.
They serve to invite. Our websites can serve as a first touch by those outside our church who may be looking for a church or investigating our church, including beliefs, ministries, and philosophy of ministry. They serve to inform. In addition to providing information to those outside our assembly, our websites provide information for those within our assembly. A key piece of information provided by both sites is our calendar information. We're trying to beef that up. Even on the new site, we put our sermons, just the sermon series, but what we're studying so people know what's going on. We have our couples banquet out there, for example, so you can click on that and see it. They serve to instruct. Both websites presently have sermon audio files in MP3 format and notes in PDF format. Our old site has these resources all the way back to 2006. Our new website provides sermons from 2015 onward. This allows our church family, as well as potentially people from all over the world, to listen to Sunday school lessons and sermons. I don't look much on how people do it, but we have people access the website every day and download notes from all over the world. Okay, so it's kind of that, it's local and extended outreach. Because of this technology, I certainly encourage you to never miss a lesson. If you're gone, you don't have to be missing anything, right? Because we have technology, there's no reason, or if I can use the term excuse, for you to ever miss a Sunday school lesson. At least the adult lesson, that's the one we record, or the sermon, okay? So I encourage you to do that. There's no reason to ever miss what's being taught. I certainly encourage you to never miss a lesson and to listen to lessons again to help you learn our studies more thoroughly, okay? If you think, oh, I need to listen to that again to help nail things down, do so. And there's no cost or anything. You just download it. And if you don't have access to the internet, we can get you copies of whatever you need. Or if you want someone to have a copy of a sermon that one of us preached, we can put it on a CD and you can give it to whomever, right? Websites also serve to influence. We have the ability to publish blog posts on our new website, which may serve to further our influence by addressing current events, particular topics, or written teaching. We have not aggressively pursued this because of time constraints, but we hope to do more this year. Our goal is to improve these on a continuing basis, these websites. We want to enhance our sites to make them more functional, more informative, and more attractive. We may eventually reduce to one site, but because of our long repository of sermons on the old site, that may not be feasible. Still, our .org site, if you want to send somebody somewhere, send them to northridgebaptist.org. Our .org site is being used as our main site going forward as it has the best design. It's kind of what people are used to now. Okay. The second area of digital outreach is the social media accounts. And most of you probably don't even know we have these. It's something we need to leverage more. But social media accounts are types of websites which allow us additional ways to post information about our church beliefs, preaching, or events. We have accounts with the following social media sites: Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube, Google+, and iTunes, which allows us to podcast. Okay? And there are the six links there in your notes if you have those. So you're able to do that. And you can actually find those on our main website down at the bottom too, the .org site. We put the most information on Facebook. When we publish sermons from our .org site, when we publish sermons, events, and posts from our .org site, we can automatically publish to Facebook and Twitter. Sermons also post automatically to iTunes podcasts as an extra means to promote them and where people can subscribe to them. If you're used to an iPhone or something like that, where it'll automatically download a sermon every time it's uploaded. Okay, so we have that. We have not aggressively posted to Flickr or YouTube in the past year. Every now and then we have a video and I'll post it up, maybe a puppet show or something like that, but haven't been aggressive on that. Not because I don't want to, it just takes a lot of time and effort to do that.
We do so occasionally. We have not tried to use Google Plus actively as of yet at all. Google Plus will actually identify an organization even if you don't have an account. So I created an account to go with it so you could edit it a little bit. So that's our digital outreach. I'll say on the side, how many of you still use a phone book? A couple of you. We get a phone book every year and we don't even know what to do with it. Because we always just use the internet. And that's why I don't even think we're listed in the yellow pages now, because we don't think anybody, for the most part, uses it. Okay, so we're putting our focus and emphasis on the website. You just search for Northridge Baptist Church and boom, it'll pull us up faster than any web yellow pages or whatever. Key document and policy updates. We're transitioning here. Now, one huge area of concern that I have, and which is also a big need that exists in the area of our key documents, is in the area of our key documents and policies. They are long overdue for review and updating. And I've said this before, it's just been a time thing. Part of this is due to changes within our church as we have grown. We've added two ministries over the years, Spanish and Deaf, and even our structure of pastoral team, our constitution doesn't even know how to think like that, okay? Another cause is the cultural and governmental changes that we face at an increasingly rapid rate. There are at least four areas which need our attention as soon as we can do so. So you can see this is very important and up front for us here. Our doctrinal statement is the first one. Our doctrinal statement is a summary of what we believe here at Northridge. It does not include every detail, but it includes foundational beliefs which define what we understand the Bible to say. We have a fairly good doctrinal statement, so it's not a lack of a good statement. We do need to refresh sections, refine other sections, and add additional sections that have become necessary to clarify and define because of cultural shifts. Who would have thought we would come to the point where it is necessary to define and clarify gender? No one put that in a doctrinal statement because no one even had that in their minds when a lot of the church's doctrinal statements were written. Yet that is where we find ourselves in today's culture. We have things that we need to put in there regard to marriage and things like that. Even though we have actually a pretty good marriage statement already, we want to fine-tune it and gear it there. We also need to update our bylaws. Probably the biggest changes that need to take place are in our bylaws. Bylaws are how we decide to conduct our various business, how we vote, how we select pastors, church membership guidelines, when you have business meetings, all this kind of stuff, okay? We need to update our bylaws to reflect what we practice and also to reflect changes that our bylaws simply do not address at all, such as how our umbrella ministries are governed. That's what I call the Spanish and the Deaf. They're under our umbrella. What are the procedures for new umbrella ministries? How do we handle leadership changes in these ministries, etc.? Pastor Ken asked me 2 years ago, what happens if we have a pastoral change? Who approves what? How much say do we have and how much say do you have? And we feel that both groups need say, right? They shouldn't be able to have someone as a leader that we would not approve of, but they should be able to choose someone that, you know, beyond just our influence, there should be a scope that they do. So that's something he's asking because he won't be able to pastor forever just like any of us. Okay. Am I on page 5 already? Sweet. Church policies. Church policies are another area which need created or updated. And I see this a lot as I interact with different church sites and all that. We leave ourselves open to liability or problems if we don't have strong policies. Policies help decide ahead of time how things are handled. For example, what guidelines apply to the use of our church facility or property within the church building? I've been turning people down that want to use the church for weddings. And there's reasons far deeper than we don't want the hassle. Okay, though that's a big reason too. Who will we allow to marry in our church building? Is another question that needs addressed. These are often separate from the bylaws to make them easier to update when needed. Okay, but different policies. There's some policies in our bylaws. Did you know that you are not allowed to store any personal property on the in the church facility? We don't follow that very well because we have two apartments. We have a church office. I have personal property. They're called books. Right? So we need to fine-tune that or fix that somehow. It's okay for Teresa to have stuff and here. Okay? So all of that needs to be updated. Another area that needs to be addressed is our financial processes. And again, every church I've ever pastored, I've helped develop a budget. I had to do it at Northridge. I've had to do it at a church that was established in 1854 when I pastored there, because they churches don't often have good business processes and practices. We did that years and years ago. We have really good processes, but there's more that's needed. One other area that I believe needs attention, though it may not be as critical as the other three right now, that area relates to our financial process. I think we have done very well to track our finances. And I also think that we have good processes in place to protect the church and protect the men that count and handle the finances. Like, for example, we require 2 signatures on every check. We usually don't allow Lynn, who writes the check, to sign the check. Those are what good accounting practices suggest to do. You know, there's checks and balances there. I think we need a process put in place whereby we review the tax laws each year to see what has changed that may affect us as a church. And we will be seeing tax laws probably change drastically in the next few years for churches. But we need to review them because there's always changes. We need to know how they affect how we handle our finances, how we issue tax receipts or pay our staff. All of those can be affected by tax laws. Also, I would like to see an external audit conducted at least every other year. External doesn't necessarily have to be outside the church. A lot of churches have people audited from within the church if they have somebody capable of doing that. But we just simply haven't been able to do that. We simply have had not the means or ability to do that, and it has become more complicated to do so with online banking. My biggest concern is the yearly changes in the tax laws, so we'll try to address that more quickly. We will keep you informed of our progress as we update or create documents or policies, the doctrinal statement, the bylaws. Any changes we'll need to approve as a congregation. Okay, so you'll have those. We'll probably do them in segments, not all at once. And we'll do that by announcing periodic meetings and publishing them ahead of time, right? So that's how we'll do that, as required by our Constitution, too. These are just a few other odds and ends at the end of the notes here. Our scheduled fellowship times. I do not have a great deal to say about fellowship events right now. We haven't planned any yet. We haven't sat down and figured out the schedule. We will likely continue to have our weekly fellowships in the chapel after our morning services. Is that a good thing? You like that? I think I would be the first martyr at Northridge Baptist Church if I try to remove that. So I'm not really interested in being martyred for cookies. I think we all enjoy that time each week, and we have scheduled this weekly time for the very purpose of encouraging us to encourage one another. It's on purpose. It isn't to get you cookies or cake, though that's a good thing, or whatever it is. It's so that we have a chance to talk to each other. That's what that's all about, okay? The early Christians in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, and breaking of bread. Okay, the interaction there. So that's what we do. We also will continue to plan special meals held here in our church building. Our next such event is scheduled for our married couples banquet next month. We will try to have some type of carry-in meal for our entire church family multiple times a year. as we've done in the past. We also anticipate other meals outside of our church property. I'm kind of dividing them up to where they take place. Though we do not have them scheduled, that I would anticipate another adult out to eat. Amen, Les?
Yes.
He asked. He already asked that when the married banquet would come up, and he said, are we going to be going out to eat? And I said, yeah, we'll be sure and do that. And we will likely have a good number of backyard fellowships this year as we've had for the past few years. That sure has been a blessing, hasn't it? It's tough if you're hosting it. The hosts probably know it's a lot of work. But I enjoy the fellowship, the casual fellowship we have. We will also likely have several work days this year. You might not think of work days as fellowship, but work days always provide some great fellowship. When you spend a whole day working with somebody, it's just fun to do things together. Okay, so it serves to fix things, but it serves to get to know each other more. Our facility updates. During our annual meeting, we shared a list of our potential projects for this year. I will not repeat all of these for this report. The two projects most likely to get attention first will be the new cupboards and sink in the CE room. That's right here on the other side of this wall right here, because we tore out the old one last year so we can have a good one. And some type of new fence on the north side of our parking lot. And we honestly don't know where we're going with that, but we think that it needs more than just that security fence, though I kind of like orange. Our future. I wish I was wise enough and squared away enough with ample time to share some grandiose plans that I might create that reach far into the future. The most I've ever done for church at a detail level is plan 1 year ahead. Okay? That's the best I've ever done. I do not have such plans to share today. I would say that we plan to continue to serve the Lord faithfully week by week as God supplies the ability and the strength and the personnel to do so. I do look forward to more difficulties to face as our country continues to rebel against God. However, we know that God remains our sovereign ruler, and he will continue to help us day by day as we faithfully serve him with obedient hearts. I don't know what the election will bring. I think that it's a huge watershed, that it will take us down a path that we probably will never recover from if it's the wrong direction. It might buy us some time if it's the right direction. I am thankful for each of you and the way you serve one another in so many different ways. The faithful attendance, service, giving, encouragement, and spirit of joy of so many of you makes Northridge a wonderful church family to serve in, among, and with. Thank you for serving the Lord and his people that make up this assembly known as Northridge. May God bless each of you, your families, and our church family as we seek to honor and serve him. Okay. Well, I am thankful that I neither had a standing ovation that was as artificial as the State of the Union standing ovation, or I didn't hear any boos, just a couple cackles and chuckles. Right? So that's good. But I hope this gives you, if you're newer here, it tells you a little more about us. And a lot of times we just don't understand what all we do or where we've been or what we're trying to work on. And a lot of this stuff happens in the pastoral team outwardly, you know, behind the scenes stuff and all of that. And so we'll inform you as we have things to tell you, but that's what we're going to do. Right now I'm going to ask, and I'll give you a heads up here. I want Ethan, Pastor Ethan, to come and pray for our church family. Okay? And then when he's done, you can pray for every individual and every family and our effects on the community. Pastor Jim, I want you to pray with regard to our country. Okay? So I'm just going to ask these two pastors of ours to come up and do that right now. I think Sean's going to spell you here by the door. So...